Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, folks. I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now, Michigan, Bernie Sanders upsets Clinton. Trump wins in Michigan and Mississippi. Boy, what is going on in this presidential campaign, and what does it mean for the next series of states? We shall break it down with our panel. The search for a new Supreme Court justice continues. Will the president appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court? Also, what's happening in Ferguson, where the city council initially tried to change their agreement with the Department of Justice in the wake of the death of Michael Brown. We'll talk about what is next for them. Also, you've been checking him out playing Johnny Cochran on The People vs. O.J. Simpson on the FX network. We will talk with actor Courtney B. Vance about playing the iconic lawyer. Also in the show, we'll break down, of course, our comedians, Wild Out Wednesday, always here for a little fun. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One.
Frankly, we believe that our strongest areas are yet to happen.
We started with a field of 17, and now we're down to 4, and I really want to close things out.
Hey, I need everyone's vote right now, okay? Let's not get into that. I can't lose any votes.
So I think the people are beginning to reward a positive campaign.
There's only one person did well tonight, Donald Trump, I will tell you.
Now, running for president shouldn't be about delivering insults. It should be about delivering results.
We are closing the gap in state after state after state after state.
Let's show the world that democracy is alive and well with a huge voter turnout. Huge.
It was a big night for the winners last night. On the Republican side, Donald Trump. On the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders. The fight in Michigan was extremely close between Senator Bernie Sanders and Secretary Hillary Clinton, as Sanders eked out a victory, even though all of the polls said that Clinton was going to be the runaway winner. In fact, several days ago, some polls showed she was up 37 points in Michigan. Well, when the voters decided, that changed the whole equation. Here's the breakdown, folks. Again, last night, Sanders wins Michigan, Clinton wins Mississippi. That was on the Democratic side. Let's go to the Republican side, please. Those results. First of all, on the delegate count, we have Clinton at 1,221 delegates, Sanders with 571, 2,383 delegates is needed to win the nomination. On the Republican side, Trump wins Hawaii, Michigan, Mississippi. Ted Cruz wins Ohio. Bad night there for Senator Marco Rubio. You heard the sound there where he was pleading for votes. His campaign really comes down to whether or not he can win in Florida next week. Of course, he's the senator from Florida. He finished fourth in a couple of states, not even meeting the threshold to get any delegates. Total delegates on the Republican side. Trump has 446. Cruz has 347. Rubio has 151. Kasich has 54 delegates. And again, what the Republicans are trying to do is to keep Donald Trump from winning the required number of delegates to win the nomination. Let's go right to our panel here. Joining me right now is we have, come on, let's go. First of all, I'll go back to play Clinton in a minute, but Jameer Burley, gun violence and criminal justice senior campaigner for Amnesty International, Dr. Cleo Monago, a behavioral health expert and CEO for Black Men's Exchange, Laura Coates, a former federal prosecutor for the Department of Justice. Here's a little bit more of what Hillary Clinton had to say last night at her campaign rally.
I'm proud of the campaign that Senator Sanders and I are running. We have our differences, which you can see when we debate, but I'll tell you what, those differences pale in comparison to what's happening on the Republican side. Every time you think it can't get any uglier, they find a way. And as the rhetoric keeps sinking lower, the stakes in this election keep rising higher.
Folks, Bernie Sanders shocked a lot of people by winning Michigan last night. Clearly, his message when it came to these trade agreements played in huge ways in Michigan. Hillary Clinton won the large cities in Michigan, but when it came to the rest of the counties, Sanders overwhelmingly took those votes.
I think what happened in Michigan is indicative of what's happening in the campaign for Hillary Clinton. She is missing the forest through the trees. Her focus was on those two major metropolitan areas, but she's underestimated Bernie Sanders in the way that the Republican Party initially underestimated somebody like Donald Trump. And she has to not put the cart before the horse. She's got to keep campaigning, secure this Democratic nomination before she can go after Donald Trump.
Well, the problem here is that I think when you look at what the issues are, I mean, first and foremost, if you saw the last debate, what she talked about on several occasions, the economy under her husband, President Bill Clinton. But on the flip side, Sanders was hitting her on those trade agreements, NAFTA, which of course President Clinton signed and supported. What you are dealing with, I mean, that issue affected those white, blue-collar voters, just like affected African Americans and others in states like Michigan. And like in upcoming states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana. And so that is resonating with those voters. And frankly, you look at the exit polling data, more folks they're distrustful of her on those issues compared to Bernie Sanders.
Well, also, I think those issues highlight what a lot of young people, particularly millennials, are facing now, which is the lack of jobs, even though many of them are graduating from universities. And I think as you look at Bernie Sanders, he's been able to grab hold the attention of so many millennials across the country and receive so much of a large population of their support. And I think if Hillary doesn't find a way, or even members on the Republican side doesn't find a way to really engage them on the issues that they care about, they're going to see themselves losing the election, very much like Mitt Romney and McCain, who they only needed more than 43% of the votes to actually win the election, and neither of them was able to succeed.
Well, one of the issues that we're seeing here, Cleo, at the end of the day is this year. And I love watching all these cable networks where people are talking about, first on the Republican side after New Hampshire, oh, Trump is going to run the table. And then Hillary Clinton is going to then run with the nomination. And I keep saying people still have to vote. And the fact of the matter is people have to be allowed to go to the polls. And we're seeing it. And so after Super Tuesday, there was this whole deal. Oh, my goodness. Will Trump now crumble? Then what's going to happen with Hillary Clinton? She could run away. No. Every state, forget the national polls. Every state is different based upon what their concerns are in that state.
That's true. And it's fascinating to me that Hillary Clinton, that is getting a lot of young black support. Excuse me, let me back that up. Bernie is getting a lot of young black youth support. They're not vote, a lot of the young people are not voting for Hillary Clinton. But I also believe that in the long run, Hillary will get the nomination. And Bernie is putting up a good fight and doing well in some places, but I think it's going to go to Hillary.
Well, here's a piece, though. I believe on the Democratic side, what you're seeing is Sanders push Clinton, who is naturally a centrist candidate. I mean, I said this weeks ago. The campaign that she is running now is not who she has been her entire career. And what you are seeing is Sanders push her more to the left than she wants to be. And so she's taking positions that, frankly, is unfamiliar with who she is. And so now all of a sudden, she has to play his game because the electorate is different. This is a different electorate than the one that Bill Clinton ran for in 1992. It is totally different than 2000. I mean, you're talking about 24 years after Clinton runs. It's a whole different world.
It is. And you know, what's happening here is that most of the time, over the they're talking about those decades, is that the politicians were able to be neutral. They could be neutral and kind of never take a position either way. But now, this young electorate and the people who were very well informed are recognizing that neutrality only serves the victims, and it keeps them in a state of oppression. And so you have to actually force somebody to say, here's what I'm going to do, and here's how you've been impacted. And now that young millennials and older people as well, like myself, who's not a millennial, I don't think, any longer, are demanding politicians to actually take a stand, take a position. And I think that's a good thing that Hillary Clinton is being forced to do that. I wish that Donald Trump was forced to actually take a position on things and actually have a policy to back it up.
I want to go to the Republican side here. I mean, think what you're seeing here is, again, at the end of the day, Marco Rubio was anointed by the establishment. Bottom line is he's faltering. More than likely, he's going to lose Florida next week. But the strange thing is, when you look at the calculus, their party needs Rubio to stay in the race. they need Governor John Kasich to stay in the race. Yeah. Because by them staying in the race, they are able to split the vote. And now the goal is to keep Trump from not getting that Republican threshold of delegates. So they go to a convention. So you literally will have a floor fight there. And once you get past the first ballot, it's game wide open. So it's interesting that next week, if Rubio loses Florida, Kasich loses Ohio, where he's the governor, Republicans will say, we need you guys to stay in, not get out, because it will then only come down to Trump and Ted Cruz. And for some people in the party, that's evil and more evil.
Well, the thing about it is, too, it speaks right to why Trump is winning. Trump is speaking to a large population of people who say, we are tired of the establishment. The establishment has done nothing for us in regards to jobs or social issues. And so if the Republican Party does do exactly what you just said, then I think it's going to cause so much more conflict within the party and allow for people to say, this is why I didn't want to vote for you in the first place, why I supported Trump, and it's not going to look good long term.
Well, it's going to be great television when Trump steps up there as a nominee, because that's what's going to happen. I mean,
reality television.
Ohio, I mean, those people are going to, Rubio, they're going to have to drop out. That's what's going to happen. That's where the ball is rolling.
Well, what they're doing, they're accusing Donald Trump of hijacking conservatism, but the Republican Party is hijacking democracy. So in order to have the initiative to actually take away and have a contested convention means that the Republican Party essentially saying, I'm sorry, we Americans, you cannot be responsible enough to choose your own candidate of your choosing. And that type of condescension and patronizing stance that the Republican Party has.
How so?
Their decision is totally against what the majority of Americans.
Hold up. But the rules are very clear.
Yeah.
Which is no different than our electoral college system. You have to amass X number of delegates in order to win the nomination. If you don't hit that threshold, just like on the Democratic side, if Hillary Clinton or Sanders doesn't get 2,383, you don't secure the nomination. You then go to the convention. This is not where, I got the most delegates because four people were running. The thing says, no, you got to hit the threshold.
No,
I totally
agree with you.
You're right about the threshold. But the issue we're talking about, I think we're in agreement, Jamira, is the idea of hijacking the role of the people to vote. And they're trying to, everyone talked about Obama not being transparent enough, right? And so now you have the Republican Party, who is so transparent, to say, listen, we're going to manipulate these rules and use them to make sure that the American people, what they wanted is not going to be the case. They don't want Marco Rubio to be there. They don't want Ted Cruz. They want the strategy of anybody but Donald Trump.
Actually, you look at the party, they've been trying to coalesce around Marco Rubio. He simply hasn't been winning.
No,
the bottom line is he's third right now in the number of delegates. Look, on the Republican side, you need 1,237 delegates. If you do not get that threshold, then what happens is you go to the convention. There is a vote of delegates on the floor.
Right.
There's no guarantee this. If Trump has 1,000 delegates, the rules doesn't say, because you got 1,000, then you get the nomination. No, you need 1,237. So that's not taking it from the party.
Regardless of the delegates, the problem that is very similar to what she said is the fact that if you have an establishment that was specifically supporting a candidate that is not winning, yet you have a candidate that is being supported by the people, if you continue to try to push this person forward, knowing that it's against what the people want, then you are feeding into what Trump is saying, that the establishment is screwed up, that the establishment is not listening to its very voters.
But again,
and that's the problem.
I get it. But what I'm saying is,
the rules.
It's the rule. It's
no one else knows about but the Republican Party.
No. But here's the piece. It's no different than when Reverend Jackson changed the Democratic rules after 1988, where he said it doesn't make sense having these winner state all. There should be proportional delegation.
Yeah.
You win a congressional district, you win. That's the reason why you have it right now, because of the reason President Obama's in the Oval Office is because of Reverend Jackson. Had Reverend Jackson not changed those rules in 1988, Obama doesn't become president in 2008. So I know we might say it's the rules, but the rules benefited the Democratic side, President Obama. And so on the Republican side, it says, get the delegates, and if you don't, it goes to a vote.
To me, it's just so disingenuous, though, Roland, to have a Republican Party say that we are going to go against what the people want and we're going to use these tactics because they don't actually want Marco Rubio. They want anybody but Trump. And so the idea that
Rubio. First of all, if you look at the number of people who've endorsed Rubio, the establishment wants Rubio. They don't want Kasich, Cruz, or Trump. No. There's only four left.
But my understanding is that they endorsed Marco Rubio. Mitt Romney had a robocall that came around talking about
Mitt Romney didn't, but what I'm saying is Rubio has more United States senators and more governors who are backing him more. That's what I mean by the establishment. Mitt Romney, that's one guy. I'm talking about overall, they have been betting that Rubio was the guy. The bottom line is,
so the lack of transparency for me is that, from my understanding, that there are convention rules and then there are convention specific rules, and the specific rules for that convention has not come out yet. So my concern is that they're going to try to develop these rules to basically exclude the most popular vote.
And that's why your job is to win the delegates. And if you don't win it, you leave it in the hands of the party. That's why you're supposed to win. I got to go to a break. Coming back, we'll talk about the Supreme Court, President Obama, who he is looking at. Also, we'll chat with Courtney B. Vance about playing Johnny Cochran in The People vs. O.J. Simpson, 15 after the hour, News 1 Now on TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.
President Barack Obama is in the process of interviewing candidates to be the next Supreme Court justice. Sources close to the process say there are at least five potential replacements, including U.S. District Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who serves in Washington, D.C. Judge Brown Jackson is a 45-year-old black woman, has been a district court judge for 3 years. Her political pluses are that she has done well since becoming a judge and related by marriage to House Speaker Paul Ryan. This news comes just as Attorney General Loretta Lynch has asked not to be nominated to the Supreme Court. A Department of Justice spokesman issued a statement saying, quote, the Attorney General determined that the limitations inherent in the nomination process would curtail her effectiveness in her current role, end quote. The president is moving ahead with the nomination process despite Republican senators warning that they will not consider or even meet with an appointee. The GOP wants the next president to make that nomination to fill the vacancy following the death of Justice Antonin Scalia. First of all, folks, no surprise that Loretta Lynch would say that. Look, her name was out there a long time in the beginning. Look, if you're not going to get it by this time, it makes sense. Pull your name out. No sense in playing a game here.
I agree. And she already had a very tumultuous nomination process in the first place, getting to be the attorney general. And frankly, I think she's right to be steadfast and keep her role now. She's far more powerful at this moment in time until that vacancy is filled. I applaud her efforts to actually take her name out.
But here's the deal that makes some sense to me. Why is it taking so long? I mean, typically a president will have several names always on a particular short list. The problem is the Senate goes into recess in July through November. Okay, and so the longer you take, you're actually shortening your own window to apply pressure to actually have meetings, hold a hearing, and a possible nomination. You wait any further, you might go into April. All you're leaving yourself with is May, June, early part of July.
Well, I think what a lot of people are hoping that the president is actually doing is what he didn't do in his first term, which is actually meeting with members of the Republican Party to try to find opportunities for a collaboration.
Ain't gonna happen.
I'm just saying what I hope is happening versus him coming out of the gate saying this is my nominee and he's just received so much pushback.
Yeah, all these delays are always political. Mm-hmm. And always people thinking about what's gonna happen and the consequences of what they do, and you know, very important for Obama to have to do the right thing from his perspective.
Yeah, I still think, though, you appoint a black woman to the court, what it does is it puts a maximum pressure on Republican senators when it comes to also the election taking place in November. And by doing so, he can have his supporters also challenge whoever the Democratic nominee is, saying that if you win, will you reappoint this person that President Obama has picked? None of them will want to say no if it's a black woman. All right, folks, the Maryland State Court of Appeals ruled that Baltimore Police Officer William Porter must testify in all five remaining trials against his fellow officers involved in the death of Freddie Gray.
This is a unique situation, and it's not like any other situation that we've seen.
Porter's testimony from those trials cannot be used against him in his own retrial. Porter's original trial ended with a hung jury, and he will be retried in June this year. With this ruling, the cases will be sent back to a lower court where the trials of the other five officers will proceed. In Chicago, a 22-year-old man is now charged with murder in the execution-style shooting of a 9-year-old boy. Tyshawn Lee was shot and killed in November after being lured into an alley by the gunman. That killer is identified as Dwight Doty. Police say he targeted Tyshawn because of his father's gang ties and a recent series of shootings between two rival gangs in the Chicago area.
Tyshawn and Doty were then seen walking off together out of the park and into a nearby alley. Once they reached the middle of the alley, Doty took out a gun and shot Tyshawn multiple times at close range. This defendant was facing the child when he shot him.
Tyshawn's murder put Chicago in the national spotlight for its senseless reputation in gun violence. Again, a 9-year-old kid gunned down. Let's go to Ohio, where a police officer has been fired for his comments about Black Lives Matter activist Marshawn McCarroll's suicide last month. Fairborn officer, police officer Lee Sire, was first suspended, then fired after several complaints to the police department for this post that read in part, quote, "happy ending" on a Facebook page that honored the activist. After firing the officer, the Fairborn Police Department released a statement that said, "this action is in violation of the department's social media policy and does not conform to the professional standards and core values established by the organization." Well, folks, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're celebrating a guy who committed suicide. The cops should have been fired, period.
If only that happened when, if only that also happened when cops kill people and shoot people in many cases, not just in where that happens.
As opposed to losing your job because you violated social media policy. Folks, a Greene County, Georgia high school teacher went in on a student for asking a basic question.
And I have been around for 37 years, and clearly, you are the dumbest girl I have ever met. You know what your purpose is going to be? To have sex and have children, because you ain't gonna never be smart.
Shania Hunter recorded this ongoing rant from her teacher on a school-issued iPad in December after her mother reported the incident to the school district. She then hired an attorney to have the teacher removed. An Atlanta news station contacted the Greene County School District, and the only response was that there are limits to what they could say publicly. According to the station, the teacher remains at the school. Folks, real quick.
I mean, it's infuriating. Not only do we have police officers, we have teachers now, we have school monitors who are all just targeting our youth. And how are we supposed to allow students, especially young Black students, to thrive
right
when no environment is safe for your mind, your body, or your spirit?
Okay.
No, I would just say this is the second incident that I've heard about in the last 2 weeks where a teacher has clearly used ridiculous language when addressing students, specifically in front of other students. And I think it doesn't speak to the context of how we want teachers to interact with students across the country.
One teacher who should not be in the classroom. All right, folks, thanks a bunch. Coming up next, Ferguson, Missouri is preparing to take steps to resolve the lawsuit with the Department of Justice. We'll talk about that. Also, the television show The People vs. O.J. Simpson, as audiences glued to the TVs, will talk with Courtney B. Vance by playing Johnny Cochran. All that next on News 1 Now on TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV.
Ferguson, Missouri, closer to resolving a costly civil rights lawsuit with the Department of Justice. Ferguson, of course, where the death of Michael Brown took place in August 2014, which sparked months of unrest. Well, they've been going back and forth with DOJ. Yesterday, the city council gave a first reading to an agreement with the Department of Justice. You might recall last month, the city council rejected the deal, causing DOJ to sue them the next day. The council is expected to take a new vote on the deal, which seeks to overhaul the city's police department and municipal court. A second required reading could take place next week if all goes well. New diversity training will be instituted for police, and new software will be purchased for hired staff to analyze records on arrests, use of force, and other matters. Joining us via Skype right now is Ferguson City Councilman Wellesley Bell. First of all, Councilman Bell, the actions by the council shocked a lot of people when they chose to try to augment or change the DOJ agreement. That did not sit well with the Department of Justice. Was that a mistake to tick off DOJ?
Well, I think that there were some legitimate concerns by some on the council. Having said that, personally, no wasn't an option for me. But when I looked at the overall goal, which was to get the deal done, we could have went back with a no, be it 3-4 or 2-5, whatever that vote would have been, or we could have come back with a yes, which gets us closer to an agreement, and it actually paid off because we got this deal done. We got it quickly. We got it done quickly and without the litigation costs, which was a big concern for the city.
So the residents there are saying, look, you must clean up this police department because it's a mess. And to try to change the agreement made no sense whatsoever. And here's the deal. If the city did not have a policy where they were pretty much fining folks, arresting folks, they wouldn't be in this problem.
No, and I agree. And I've been on the council for a year, and I'm a big proponent of community policing and court reform. And just to be clear, Mr. Martin, these reforms have already been implemented. Court reform, community policing, we've already started to move on those things because it's the right thing to do. And so now we'll have the agreement in place. And let me be clear, in no uncertain terms, it will get done next week. We do have the support. We do have the votes. And so we're going to move the city forward with these much needed reforms. And again, as I've always said, having the gold standard of policing is my personal goal. And I think with this decree signed, that's what you're going to see.
All right, then. Well, Councilman, we certainly look forward to that. And we'll see what happens next week.
All right.
Thank you very much. Folks, I want to bring this up, but I find it to be very interesting. Shelly, go to my iPad, please. So yesterday, the National Republican Senate Committee sent this tweet out. Tammy Duckworth has a sad record of not standing up for our veterans. That tweet was deleted about 10 minutes later. And so the problem here is, here's a woman who was running for the United States Senate in Illinois. She lost several limbs in Iraq. And then they were complaining because of a lawsuit filed by a couple of veterans against her when she headed the Illinois Department of Veteran Affairs. Are folks a little brain dead? I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, you don't send that tweet out to somebody who has a prosthetic leg and who also lost an arm in fighting for veterans.
Is
that a rhetorical question? Are folks a little bit brain dead?
I mean,
look at Trump's rise. I mean, brain dead is not an unusual part of this country's operations. So that was a rhetorical question, right?
And everyone's taking the Trump line now because, remember, Trump accused John McCain of being somebody who was not a good or worthy veteran because he was in captivity while Donald Trump was talking about his sexual escapades during the 70s.
And speaking
so you're talking about brain dead. So you have, yeah. I think everybody is lowering their threshold for decency and attacking people because it seems to work for Donald Trump. And I hope that we actually all elevate our sense of decency
and look,
again.
Look, I understand that they're trying to support Senator Kirk. Who's running for re-election. Of course, Illinois primary is next week. But it might require somebody to think for a second. She's lost limbs, standing up for veterans. I might not want to use that sort of language.
No, they don't care. And I think they can write it off as an intern made a mistake. Because that's what has been done when individuals as well as organizations have made statements that have went beyond the level of decency, especially considering her her previous work.
An intern made a mistake. They sat down there and they wrote something out.
Yep.
With their fingers and their mind was left up.
No. Actually, no. It is true because what happened over, it was very interesting over the weekend. Someone sent me a tweet and they asked, they said, is TV1 the only black network with a news show?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And I said, we are. And I said, BT doesn't have one. I said that Aspire doesn't have one. Bounce doesn't have one. And someone even asked about OWN. But bottom line is, OWN is a black network. So you can say all you want to, but we love all them black shows. But let me show you this here. So Shelly, go to my iPhone. So somebody, whoever's running the account at BET decided to respond this. And so I don't know which one of those emojis that is, but they tried to get a little smart with me. And then I responded back. I said, BET, whoever's running y'all Twitter account, y'all really messing with the wrong one. Because last I checked, y'all don't have any news. I said, so you might want to be.
He might think 106 and Park, or she may think 106 and Park is their news.
But even they got canceled.
But is BET a black network?
Well, first of all, it's black targeted.
Exactly.
It's not black owned. But what was funny, now that tweet was deleted about 5 minutes later because somebody probably thought, y'all might want to leave him alone because him crazy. And so I had to let them know about that one. And so it was, but again, there's some people. So what happened is you guys, and I said, just let me know if y'all actually have news over there at BET. I'll wait.
Well, here's the news that
they never got back to a brother. So you do have folk who are running Twitter pages who don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like, BT, y'all might want to leave this brother alone because it ain't going to end well.
They probably should, but everyone should try to stop the knee-jerk reactions. Yeah. And that's what's happening. Twitter is a medium that people use now where we normally would have taken a second, taken a step back, and thought about our actions, think before you speak. People do not think before they tweet.
But like
they
you said,
they did it with you. They do not
Trump obsession, because I'm not a Trump obsessive, but he says what he wants to say off the top of his head.
And they reward
but
it.
But he also retweets things that are wrong. Remember the facts?
And
about
they love it.
Yeah, yeah, but they may love it, but it's inaccurate.
He retweets the white. No, I agree. The biggest thing for me is, which I love about Twitter, I love it when folks have no sense of facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can't even, and then they'll say, well, prove it to me. No, you learn how to use Google. But again, and that's what you. So again, this attack on Tammy Duckworth is an example, and it immediately backfired, yeah. And it made no sense. So look, I gotta go to the break. When we come back, we're gonna chat with actor Courtney B. Vance. Many of you have known his work for years, but a lot of folks are loving his portrayal of Johnny Cochran in The People vs. O.J. Simpson. We will chat with Courtney about that. So we look forward to that conversation. Plus, it is Wednesday, and every Wednesday, of course, we've got our comedians in the house. Wild and Out Wednesday. We have a little fun for the latest news. Stay up to date and informed by going to news1.com. You can hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at Roland S. Martin or at News One, or go to our News One Facebook page 24 before top of the hour. News One Now on TV One.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Many of us remember living through the long dog days known as the O.J. Simpson trial. It was the first time where all of these factors converged. It was true reality TV. It was a precursor to reality TV. He had a football Hall of Famer who later went into movies. He is married. And all of a sudden, you have accusations of sex and race and murder and all that stuff combined into one. And of course, the folks at FX decided to do a series called The People versus O.J. Simpson. Cuba Gooding Jr., he plays O.J. Simpson in the television series. Also, Courtney B. Vance, he plays legendary defense attorney Johnny Cochran. Many folks, of course, in L.A. and other parts were aware of Johnny Cochran, but it was this trial that made him go national. Here is a clip from the movie.
You all right, my brother?
No, Johnny. No.
Come on. Talk to me.
Whatever you decide to do, whether you're with me or not, you gotta know this. I love Nicole more than you can possibly imagine. She says she's the mother of my children. I didn't do it, John. I couldn't have done it, I swear. There's no way I could have killed her.
All right, folks, we have some Skype issues. We'll be joined by Courtney B. Vance in just 1 second. How many of you have been watching this on FX?
Oh, I've been watching it.
I love it.
I'm going to, starting today.
Oh, you're missing it.
I promise. No, I am. I just haven't had the chance. Don't give me that look.
It's a rare television tour de force of great acting, great writing.
It's been on 4 or 5 weeks. Yeah. What have you been doing?
Working, you know. Making that money?
Oh, we don't work?
Oh, that's shade. I was not saying that.
Well, let's go. Let's talk to Courtney right now. Courtney, how you doing?
I'm well.
We're having some Skype issues there, so my bad. But we got you on the phone here. So first of all, folks have been talking about your performance as Johnny Cochran, and it has been stunning. Certainly, it is one. Even you can tell you're relishing playing this legendary figure.
Oh, I did relish it. It was the opportunity of a lifetime. They don't come around very often, and I had the opportunity to do a wonderful three wonderful plays, Fences, Six Degrees, and Lucky Guy with Tom Hanks, and on the screen. This is one of those moments that you can't believe it's coming your way, and here it is. And the hardest part was just trying to figure out my way in, where to begin to step into those shoes. So I just read as much as I could, and I didn't want to see any footage. I felt that would get me into imitation. I don't want to do that. I wanted to be able to just catch the spirit of the man. So when they started, Ryan Murphy started running, like doing 3 and 4 episodes at the same time, I would, no matter what I would do or say, I would be in the moment. So that was the way I approached it.
Did you personally know Johnny Cochran before he passed away?
I did not. I'd met him at a party. I was invited. I was a young actor back in 96, 97, somewhere in there. And I looked up at him as just about all African Americans. I just was in awe and was at the party watching him in his home. I was in Johnny Cochran's home. I can't believe I'm in his home. And so we were just there he is. Hey, Mr. Cochran. So that was me.
How did you prepare for this in terms of what did you talk to family members? Did you talk to folks who knew them? Let's go through. How did you prepare for this moment?
I didn't. I thought that if I did that, I would. He was so huge a figure. I thought that would stop me dead in my tracks, and everything that I would do, I would be thinking about what Dale said, or what this person said, or what that person said. So I said, I'm gonna, you know, shut all that noise out, and I'm sure they're right and wonderful. They did know him, and he did hold his hand like this, and he did sneeze like that, and he did pick his nose like this and that. And I said, I that's gonna freeze me. So I'm gonna have to not talk to anyone and just pray as I step off the edge that the wings work. And they did.
One of the things that I also appreciate, I mean, and I was telling our panelists beforehand, the attention to detail by the producers, and I saw this online, because Johnny Cochran was a life member of Kappa Alpha Psi. Mm-hmm. Chris Darden was a member of Alpha Phi Alpha. And so they even had both of them with the lapel pins. I mean, a lot of times when you watch these movies, folks would just overlook those sort of things. Mm-hmm. But there seemed to be a serious amount of detail, attention paid to details in this show.
They were serious. That was one of the things that I think that touched all of us when we were asked to come aboard. When we met Ryan Murphy, I met Ryan Murphy and sat down with him and Brad Simpson, producer, and Nina. We sat down and we talked, and for 2 hours each meeting was 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours long, and that's what we wanted to hear. We wanted to hear and see the seriousness with which we were going to attack this we were going to go on this journey. Were we going to get underneath the material? And as soon as I saw that, I knew I'm in. Because I knew this was going to be something special. The scripts were special. The cast was special. The Victoria Wood, the wig maker of Sam Jackson, who he said, this is the person, Courtney, call her up, and you will be set up. You will be hooked up. And as soon as I sat down in that chair in the makeup trailer and looked in the mirror and that wig was on my head, I said, it's on.
You know, Courtney, you are a tour de force in this particular movie. And aside from the hair, you're playing this role as if it could be any case right now in 2016. Were you aware of the connotations of how relevant the O.J. Simpson trial is today?
Well, we were aware of it, but you never know how you're going to be received. It can be, we could have done the piece and the same relevance applies, but the people could have said, you know, no, why now? It's the why. They're just fanning the flames. Let it alone. This is just their. It could have been a joke. You just don't know. When we finished in late October, we knew we had something special. And at that point, it's up to the marketers and the editors to turn it into to take it to the next level. And when we began to see things, little clips, the actors, we knew wow, that actually was something. We did do so. We were in awe and shock that little project that could turned into something that was and is.
It's amazing to me that you said you didn't watch any footage of Johnny Cochran, because I knew Johnny. Well, I didn't really know him. I met Johnny Cochran on more than one occasion in Los Angeles, and how you've embodied him has been quite powerful. One of my questions to you, though, is what was it like recreating this piece on set in terms of the interaction with your colleagues, and what did you guys think about when you were taking on such a historic project?
I think acting at base level is talking and listening, yeah. And once everyone got by. The wig, and the hair, and the costumes, and we look at you. Oh, you look at. Once we got by that moment, those moments, the attention turned back to what we do. Okay, here we go. We got a scene. Let's make this scene work. And then we got another scene that comes before it. We just started building the building, and the building, the structure, the foundation. We started putting the foundation down, and the foundation was strong. Once the foundation was late. We put that building together, and we started looking out, and we said, I feel good. Let me do another. Ooh, I feel better. And all of a sudden, we were on the 31st and the 50th floor. Look, I'm blind. So that's what the experience was. We knew what we were doing at that point. When we got to the courtroom, we knew what we were doing, and it became an exercise of just and then it was like the tuning fork it starts to everybody just tapped into that sound, and it just flowed and hummed, and the galley of the courtroom, all those actors were tapped into it, the jury, all those actors tapped into it, and all before you know it, I was Johnny and they were the jury and they were mine and they were not hers, and it became a thing, and then it became fun and funny and jokes and music and dancing and photography. I was taking photos. I'm going to get in the shot. It became a family. It was special. It was really, really special.
Have you heard from many of Johnny's friends and colleagues about your portrayal and what has been their reaction?
I haven't heard anything personally. They haven't spoken to me. I ran into Dale Cochran, Ms. Cochran, at a function about 2 months ago, and I was with Angela. I was with my wife, and I said, "Honey, should I go up to her? Should I not say anything? What should I do?" She says, "Go up to him and talk to her." So I said, "Hello, Miss Cochran." She said, "Courtney, ooh, you're my TV husband. You did a great job.
There's an interview.
Great job, baby."
Carl Douglas, Carl Douglas, as you know, who plays a part in the film, talks about you and your performance on his Facebook page. You might want to check it out. He has some great things to say about you and how you embody Johnny.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
Well, Courtney, it's always great talking with you. Please give our best say hello to your wife, Angela Bassett. And let me say this here, because, every time you see a man looking good and stuff, folks always give a woman credit. Oh, man, your wife taking care of you. Well, Courtney, let me say this here. Angela looking good, I'm going to give you the credit. See, the husband never get the credit, Courtney.
I feel for you, brother. I know you're right, but look here, let me turn it right back.
Exactly.
So I can go home. Let me turn it right back. Thank you, baby.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you the credit for Angela still looking fine as wine. And so.
Right, and I'm going to turn it right back to her. Thank you.
There you go. Folks, y'all check out Courtney B. Vance, the People vs. O.J. Simpson. Brother, always good chat with you.
Thank you. Thank
All right,
you so
folks.
Much.
Thanks a bunch. Again, thanks to our panel. Thank you so very much. Coming up next, Wild Not Wednesday, time to have some funny with our comedians right here, News 1 Now, TV 1.
Hi, I'm Eldie Barge. You get my new song with Babyface on iTunes. It's available right now. It's called Walking on Air, and you're watching News 1 Now with Roland Martin on TV 1.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Why in the hell is there a dog on my set? Why is there a dog on my set? Whose dog is this?
It's mine.
What is wrong with
it
you,
was
black
in the
people?
Bag.
What you mean was in the bag? It belongs in the bag.
No dog?
Can you get this dog out from under the set?
Come on.
Oh, wow, you're a real dog.
Really?
Hey,
really?
Don't slide back too far.
Really? Really?
Say you have a real dog.
See, that's these new black people. See, this is new black people. Y'all know black folks, right? You have black, right? Because, okay, black folks will be walking around with dogs and stuff like that. What's wrong? Bring the doggone bag out here.
Where's the bag?
Wow. What is wrong with... Man, look, that's one of Roland's rules. Look, dogs belong outside. Dogs do not belong inside. Charlie, but y'all can blame Christina Payne gonna come here and bring a dog on my show. Let's go. Let me go to birthdays in history.
Where's the bag?
After and wrap. Yeah, bring the bag, please. What you got? A little duffel bag or something?
Yes.
You probably ain't got a real bag. Hey,
Charlie Murphy.
Dog, you don't come over here. Actor and rapper Lil Bow Wow turns 29. Actor Emmanuel Lewis turns 45. What is wrong with you?
What?
Anyway, let me introduce the rest of the comedians over here, the people who got some sense. Kevin Lee, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm Kevin Lee.
Kevin, how you doing? Quincy Carr, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
I'm all good. Y'all walk around with dogs or something like that?
No.
I had a girl. I had last night. It was a dog.
Because growing up, you know, black folks didn't walk around with the dogs. That ain't us. No.
Big dogs.
No. Tim, move the dog. I want the dog on the set. No.
It's funny how the dog hasn't said nothing. The dog doesn't know anything. The dog is just walking around.
Yeah, that's a nice bag.
He thinks he's supposed to be here.
What? No, he don't. Why you walk around with a dog?
I'm traveling. I just flew in. I'm sorry.
I'm calling my
He was in the makeup.
Why are you traveling with a dog?
He's an emotional support animal.
An emotional support? What's wrong with you? You got depression or something?
No, but you know, anxiety, the flights.
Michael Jackson had a chimp.
Right.
So I guess she's trying to.
So what? You stroke it or something? What? You can't get a fake dog to stroke? You can't get a teddy bear or something?
I want a fake dog.
What does the dog do for you while you flying?
Clearly walk around right before it's time to shoot.
His heartbeat soothes mine.
Well, see, I just lost a cat.
You just lost a cat.
Yeah, I just lost a cat. It was my cat's son.
No.
So,
you lost a cat.
Yeah, I lost
my cat.
Did it? Because I didn't want to pay the doctor bill. It was too expensive. And from what I understand, he's lived a full life. So it was time for him
just
to go.
Look, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't understand. I don't understand people who literally, I mean, I was talking to this one guy. He was talking about how his dog needed IV treatments and
these are regular people. This thing had congested heart failure, and when the doctor gave me the doctor bill, I said, how much it costs to put them down? Because I couldn't afford that, and I don't have insurance for them. So
here comes Pete.
Obamacare didn't cover that.
Obamacare didn't cover that. I don't really understand.
You don't have any none? No dogs, nothing?
Yeah, you got some dogs.
You don't have a pet?
Roland,
no pets, nothing.
You got some dogs.
Hell no.
Black people, give money. Black people go get stuff that they never thought they would have.
Let me explain something to you.
Like new pots, pans.
Let me explain something to you. I don't need animals, okay?
I hear you.
Me and my wife had to raise six of my nieces. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for no doggone doctor's bill for a cat or a dog.
Well, you don't have to pay for it, but it don't mean you don't have one. You have some exotic animals.
No.
You got a giraffe.
No. Let me tell you. Stuff that's at my house don't move. I don't need to walk it. I don't need to feed it. I don't need to take it anywhere because I'm not doing that. Plus, animal is not a revenue generating part of the family. True. It's not.
True.
See, my six nieces, they gonna make some money one day.
Right.
Okay, so that's an investment. I'm not putting thousands of dollars into a dog or a cat and ain't making money back.
I just stayed at this white guy's house last night and he had a dog.
the operative phrase that was this white guy's house.
Well, you know, because it was the halfway point to make sure I made it here on time. So he said, hey, Q, you can come on and stay. Well, no, I couldn't find because brothers won't let you stay without paying something.
Okay,
see, this dude was like, hey, come on in, man. I got you. And they had a dog.
You look like Kato Kaelin. You just stay at the house.
First of all, I don't even know who that is.
Okay.
Second of all, no.
Obviously,
no,
see, that's what happens when you got some comedians. Okay, so we just had an O.J. Simpson segment, Kato Kaelin.
Look,
oh, by the way,
I'm sorry.
Cuban Junior is not the best O.J.
He ain't bright down there.
I'm dark skinned, but I'm bright.
No, you ain't bright. I gotta sit
yes,
here.
I
gotta pull up Wikipedia for you. Oh. I'll be back on News One Now in a moment with a dog on the set.
Charlie Murphy.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
White guy's house last night.
I bet I know.
This white guy stayed at OJ's house.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, like basically. How Johnny Gill stayed at Eddie Murphy's house.
Right. And, you know, and OJ didn't have a dog.
OJ had a dog.
And he wasn't walking around with it.
He was rich.
Well, OJ is from Petrel Hill in San Francisco, so I could understand why he wouldn't have a dog. Ooh.
You know what?
They don't do dogs too well in projects up there. So
what are you, Google Maps? What?
I'm from San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains everything right there. Right there. That explains everything. Everything.
My black and Asian-ness.
Right. And you're still ashy, like you were last time you were on the show.
Come on, man.
No, but she's on the show last time.
On,
okay, we were on the show last time.
Come on, that's black on black crime, man. You don't call another black. Right, no, I got lotion. Don't you look at my hand. No, I put lotion on, but I got a nice sticker.
I just didn't do my arm.
For my dog.
Oh, you know your arms? Hit them elbows.
Yeah,
hit the bowls. Hit those bowls.
She got lotion on deck.
She figures she light-skinned. She can't see the ass.
I have a light-skinned daughter.
I am Filipino.
And that's the one thing that bothers me. I want to make sure, as a light-skinned daughter, two things stay good. Her elbows and her knees. You don't want to have light-skinned kids with dark knees and dark elbows. So that's how I feel about that. Don't look at me like you don't understand.
Okay.
You got dark elbows.
We got to go.
No, we don't.
It's been a pleasure. Yeah, we got 3 seconds left. It's called TV. Holla!
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.